Shane O'Connor.
BBC Coventry and Warwickshire.
We've been hearing today how it's Holocaust Memorial Day, and particularly poignant this year because it's the 70th anniversary since the liberation of the Nazi concentration camps. Later today, a candle is going to be lit in Coventry City Centre to mark the occasion. It's one of 70 that's going to be lit across the country. And one woman who will be speaking is Susie Beckhoffer, who was, with thousands of children, brought to Britain to escape Hitler's genocide. She's with us in our radio car this morning. Hi, Susie.
Oh, good morning.
Thanks for being with us this morning. So how old were you? You came across on the kinder transport, did you?
I came across on the kinder transport with my twin sister at the age of 3 years.
So you have, I'm guessing, no recollection of the journey itself.
Well, I have. I have got a recollection of the journey, or some of it. And yeah. It was a very long journey. It was a three-day journey. We had to go to Holland on trains from Munich, and then we went on the boat, and it was the boat bit that I actually was aware of. And I was quite frightened, and a lady said to me, "Susie, don't worry, this is your first journey." I just remember that. And I remember being on Liverpool Street Station, and we were in a big marquee, because there were probably 1,000 children, and every child had to be named and told where they needed to go. And it seemed forever for the Beckhoffer twins to be mentioned. But eventually, the Beckhoffer twins were mentioned. And I just remember that feeling of sick, really, being recognised and having somewhere to go. But I'm told that there was a lady sitting at the desk and we wouldn't go with our foster parents, with our foster mother.
Mm.
And foster mother, because we couldn't communicate, we were speaking German. And once we were told that we were going home, off we went. And I don't remember anything else for quite some time.
Do you remember being told anything about the journey ahead of the journey, Susie?
I mean, no.
That was part of the fear, was it? You're thinking, what are we doing? What's happening?
Exactly, because we were in an orphanage in Munich, because my mother was unmarried and she was a Jewish woman on her own. And
so you'd been taken off your mother and put in an orphanage already?
Yes, but she used to come and visit. And I imagine the matron would have said to my mother, Rosa, you know, there is this kinder transport. I'm making this up. There is this kinder transport. Is it all right if your girls go on it? Mm. I'm sure she would have done that. And
do you know what? Listening to your story, and you tell it so well, I have to say, but listening to your story, to me, psychologically, it's like somebody giving you a jigsaw with a picture on the box and not all the pieces inside, and you're desperately trying... There are gaps that must provide you with huge frustrations.
I think I've got past that stage, really. It's interesting you liken it to a jigsaw, because, you know, it's the important pieces of the jigsaw that matter. You know, the corners and the middle bit. Mm. And I kind of got those pieces. And the main piece is the middle bit, which was my mother, finding her, because Rosa, she was one of 13 children, and she found her way to Munich to make a living. And unfortunately, but this is how it happened, she met a German in Munich at that time, and I think these two people were probably lonely. I make that bit up.
Mm.
And as a consequence, she became pregnant, which must have been just terrible at that time.
Do you know what happened to your mother?
Yes, she went to Auschwitz.
Which is the stark reminder of where you would have been and where your story would have ended had it not been for the kinder transport, isn't it? I mean, realizing that once you get to an age, then Susie, and you realize that that is what your family story is. How did that hit you? At what age did you think, wow, I'm lucky to be... I mean, we're all lucky to be here, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Looking back and realising that was your story must have hit you so hard.
Well, it does, and it kind of never goes away. But what I think is important for me now is to pick out the positive pieces of this jigsaw puzzle for me. And one of the positive pieces is the sacrifice and compassion that this country and my mother gave us, gave me and my sister, so that we could survive.
Do you think we've learned? Do you know, we were a little bit sad earlier on and saying, you know, we look at Rwanda and some of the genocides that take place around the world now, and you kind of think, what on earth have we learned in all of this? You know, this terrible, tragic, cruel, wicked waste of life. And have we taken anything from it? I mean, you must have a different dimension for you when you look at it.
Well, I kind of feel that human nature is human nature, really. And we don't learn. We don't learn. But some of us try our best to actually teach good values. And it is about good values for the young people of any country to know what is right and what is wrong. What more can one say?
When you look at the pictures of Auschwitz, and there's been some aerial footage that's been released, which is even more chilling than the normal pictures that we see. But again, talking about another dimension for you, that has a huge personal family dimension. What do you think of? I mean, do you just try and remain positive and think of happier times for your mother? Or what do you think?
Right. Well, what I do actually is probably classic. I don't watch these pictures.
Right.
Because how can I? Mm. I know about them, and as soon as I see them, I actually do something about not watching them. Because I have to stay sane, really. Mm. And it's important for me not to fill my mind with these images. And I actually feel that I don't have to fill my mind with these images. They're not for me, but they may be for the younger generation to see these images, but not for me.
Do you still go back to? Do you go back to Germany? Have you been back?
Yes, I have been back to Germany, and I'll just tell you one very interesting thing. I have a cousin who's in Germany, second cousin, and he's organised been commissioned to put one of these Stolpersteins in one of the cobbled streets. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't, actually. Explain that to me. What?
Well, a lot of Jewish families have commissioned various cities to put stones in streets that mark where their loved ones have been. So on this stone is my mother's name and the fact that she perished in Auschwitz. And it's actually put in the road, cobbled road.
Well, just as a permanent reminder, this person was here. This is where they lived their life. That is a wonder. And as you say, for people, and I completely get how any kind of memorial at a death camp would be just too harrowing. That's something that you can know and can be there and could visit, isn't it? I guess.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is. Yes, it's very important.
What of your sister? What's
my sister tragically died of a brain tumour. Because we were in this orphanage at a time when there wasn't very much food. And so we were just fed on porridge, really. And when she came over, when we both came over, we were quite poorly. And she developed a brain tumour and sadly died.
It's amazing to talk to you, it really is. And do you know what? I think we should think about people like you as individual people rather than you know, a kind of, as you say, generic image. Your story is far more powerful, that personal story is far more powerful and would mean a lot more. Don't stop telling younger people what it was all about, Susie, will you?
No, I do that quite a lot. Thank you.
It's been good
thank
to you talk so to you, and thanks very much for sharing your thoughts today on a most poignant day, 70 years on.
Shane O'Connor.
BBC Coventry and Warwickshire.